And welcome to Bathroom Spears Broadsides. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, and freakradio.org if you happen to be on computer. I'm Robert Norris, as I've said before, and you can call in at the number 831-427-3772. 427-FRSC for Free Radio Santa Cruz. You can also call off-air if you're feeling shy or if you've got something personal or non-airworthy or business-ish to talk about. That's 423-HUFF, 423-4833, 423-HUFF. HUFF is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, as well as my phone number. And it's a number where you can actually leave messages, volunteer, ask questions, try to get on the show, and so forth. You can also contact Free Radio, and I hope you've got a pencil and pad handy, all you folks out there, although most of you probably heard this before. The phone number, if you want to contact Freak Radio off-air and, say, ask some questions about, maybe make some technical suggestions about donate some equipment, give off some money, look for a show yourself, all that kind of stuff. Give a criticism of a program or constructive suggestion, as the case may be. That number is 427-4523, 427-4523. Again, the numbers are 427-4523 for off-air free radio. On-air free radio is 427-3772. That's the number I'd like you to focus on tonight because I'm inviting your calls. And then if you want to reach me off-air, it's 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Again, at 6:30 tonight, Ocean Newman, who is a muralist, former head of the police, well, member of the Police Review Commission, attorney, activist, speaker, writer. He's got his finger in a lot of pies and a very articulate advocate for poor people up in Berkeley, California, there in the Bay. And he most recently went to a Berkeley City Council meeting, and he'll be reporting on that and other issues in Berkeley when he calls in at 6:30. And so feel free to ask him any questions, make any comments, and so forth. A couple of updates to begin with. And I'll be playing some of this tape on Sunday, because hopefully on Sunday, maybe even next week, because the good tape of this I have to get from the Public Works Department, which is the staff person for the Downtown Commission. You may remember I've been talking a lot, for those of you who follow the show regularly, about the parking lot panic law expansion that's being proposed by the Police Department and the Public Works Department, which would make it illegal to walk into a parking lot. And to, if you're a motorist or a person parking a vehicle, you'd be allowed to go into the parking lot, but you'd have to be gone within 15 minutes. And I don't know if we want to focus a lot on that whole issue, because frankly, the positive thing that happened is that the Downtown Commission voted it down. Yes, believe it or not, they voted it down today. They said, I think it was 5-2 or 4-2, because they were missing one member. Might have even been 5-1. The holdout was, maybe there were two holdouts, I think June Hoffman, Hoffman's Bakery, and Jerry Mandel, who's another downtown merchant, I believe, were all for giving the police whatever tools they wanted to have. I could be wrong about June. I know that those two were also on the losing end of a second vote at the Downtown Commission. Downtown Commission is a group that advises the city council. Anti-homeless legislation that involves the downtown usually goes through the Downtown Commission. For instance, the downtown ordinances, laws that criminalize much sitting down on the sidewalk downtown, even non-obstructive sitting, peaceful panhandling, and street performing, the laws that criminalize these things are severely restricted, went through the Downtown Commission, like shit through a goose, I might add, and then ended up as law after they were quickly shat out by the city council, who we now, of course, get to follow the laws as directed to us by the downtown hosts and the Santa Cruz Police Department. So you can't lean, sit against a building. You can't have a table, a political table, within 10 feet of a building. You can't have a sign about peacefully spirit changing after dark at all. All these are crimes, and they are crimes that are prosecuted. You know, we don't want no stinking, nasty-looking people or people who aren't, you know, doing what the police and the downtown hosts and the merchants want them to do downtown. Anyway, this stuff goes through the Downtown Commission, and they usually are pretty damn sympathetic to the merchants and the police department. But in this case, though they were, they went up, they bent over backwards and forwards and every other way to say they really loved the police department and they wanted to help, but the police department just wasn't giving them enough information. And indeed, that's what you're going to hear when we play it in some of the tapes on Sunday. It was a pretty long session. It's a two-hour session every other month. They hold in the morning, 8:30 to 10:30 in the morning, and it went on and on and on. But again, the police department, essentially, I guess they either didn't care about this, and they seemed to care because Deputy Chief Saponi was there, and Lieutenant Martinez was there, and Sergeant Flippo was there, and the owner, Norman Schwartz, who was the owner of the property that they wanted to close down from 2 to 5 at night to parking, that's right behind the old Asian Rose, was there. And parking a lot attendants who wanted to make it illegal to walk into a parking lot because it would help them clean up the parking lot and stop all-night parties and eliminate camping problems, all, you know, that sort of thing. They were there. But a couple members of the Downtown Commission, although they expressed great sympathy for the police, just generally couldn't go along with it, either with closing down lots and saying from 2 to 5 in the morning, we're going to close these lots. Right now, as you may know, for parking, you can't park a vehicle on many streets between midnight and 6 in the morning. In some cases, it's 1 to 6. This was a anti-homeless move started at the initiative of Harvey West bigots and business owners out in the Harvey West, which Emily Riley carried the ball for in the 2002-2003. Actually, 2003 was when she did. I think it was 2003. Maybe it was 2001. Anyway, she carried the ball for it. And then they expanded this to the west side and then to the downtown area. Again, making it, quote, easier, giving the police better tools so they don't have to actually, you know, hear a person snoring inside a vehicle to arrest them for camping or, well, that's the primary indice. The cop usually comes up and says, I heard them snoring. I saw rhythmic breathing. I peeked through the curtain. And indeed, I've gotten reports of, I think Shannon, Ms. B, the poet, at the last interview we had with her, last show, talked about, I could be wrong, it could have been some other person I'm thinking of, I think with Officer Perry, also known as RoboCop, one of our African-American officers, bouncing up and down on the bumpers of vehicles in Lighthouse Field. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't Ms. B, it was Donna Dice who called in. Donna, formerly the founders of the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, now homeless, living in her vehicle with her partner Shane, we've talked about in the past, has been victimized by discrimination downtown, reported that there was bumper jumping by Officer Perry up at the Lighthouse Field as he attempts to force people who are sleeping in their vehicles to come out, and then he can ticket them for sleeping and harass them and move them on. And that's the general notion, that the Downtown Commission didn't like to be in the position of perhaps so explicitly endorsing that. They actually had a presentation from Ken Cole as well of the Homeless Service Center, who asked them to be cautious. He didn't say, don't do this, as other homeless advocates have said, or even other service providers in other cities have said, because he's cautious himself. He's a cautious man. And he just said, well, you know, you've got to balance this stuff because we want the right balance. This was the big word of the day at the Downtown Commission meeting. But the ultimate outcome was the Downtown Commission voted down the expansion of the parking garage paranoia law, the law that says you can only go into a parking garage if you have a car or vehicle and then only for 15 minutes, voted it down as far as parking lots are concerned, except, of course, for the one parking lot where it currently is the case. That's the homeless parking lot, of course. That is the one closest to homeless services right across from Elm Street, where the police get to practice their skills. And it has to be honestly said, it's also the parking lot behind the Catalyst and next to the Pergolesi. So there are other problems that develop there than homeless camping problems. But it is regularly a place where homeless people used to go and to some extent may still sit until they're rousted, run off, or harassed by police officers like Sergeant Flippo and his downtown squad. So that was a victory. I was surprised. And, I actually went up and started pressing for an abolition of the parking garage law because the report that we were promised a year after it was passed has not come back. The police department isn't. All they've told us is, oh, well, we've only given 22 warnings and one ticket. But there's no mention of whether how the crime stats are. There was no indication of whether it was better or worse. You know, criminals can have vehicles as well. You know, criminals can case out parking lots. They can walk through parking lots. I mean, I pointed out the strategy that, I hope I didn't blow it for you folks out there, but I pointed out that a very good strategy, if you're walking in a parking garage and a cop comes up to you and says, hey, you got to leave this within 15, you got to leave this parking lot now because you don't have a vehicle here. You just look at them blankly and say, well, do you have a vehicle here? The police officer said, you just look at him. You say, officer, I don't want to talk to you. You know, I've got, you can't, you know, I mean, do you have any, you suspect me of some kind of a crime? And if so, what's your reasonable suspicion? And walking through a parking, walking in the parking garage is no reasonable suspicion. So it's really an unenforceable law, at least as far as arresting someone who doesn't have a vehicle. Now, it's true the cop could see you, wait around for 15 minutes, and then 15 minutes from now then say, hold it, we're going to arrest you, we're going to ticket you because you've been here for 15 minutes, and even if you have a vehicle, that's a no-no. This is a law we currently suffer under, folks. I call it the parking garage paranoia law. But it has not been expanded yet to the parking lots. And when I spoke to Jim Burr, who's the new Matt Farrell, the new head of the parking, who's covering for the parking, former parking authority czar, Matt Farrell, who has retired, he said it's unlikely this law is going to progress. And I asked him to inform us if the city council decided to do it anyway because they're, you know, so concerned about pleasing the police and some merchants. He said, well, you know, I can try to do that, but I don't want to be criticized if I don't do it because yada, yada, yada. It should be said that no homeless advocates were advised of this law's original arrival at the Downtown Commission, the law this time, this expansion of the law, the expansion of this absurd, you can't walk into a parking garage because somehow you're immediately a suspect in a potential crime. No advocates were given any notice. The public was given any notice. Hasn't appeared in the Sentinel. So I asked that he made sure that we all got notice next time. For example, there was also a walkthrough on the garage walkthrough that people were doing. He and other public officials led the Downtown Commission on a walkthrough through the garages a month ago, and there was no notice given to homeless activists about this. Of course, what they said was, "Oh, well, we posted it 72 hours before on the door," you know. That's not good enough, folks, and that's nonsense. It also has to be said, Julie Shattuck allowed Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group I represent, a five-minute rather than three-minute speech. But then again, they allowed Norman Schwartz, who's the big king cheese in the development on the Lau property, the property that's right next to the Lulu Carpenters, that big kind of open hole, I don't know, seemed like 10 or 15 minutes, maybe it was 5 or 10 minutes, and they continued to, you know, engage in dialogue with him endlessly, but not with any homeless advocates. So we're going to be talking more about that, and probably I should just shut up about it because I may be repeating myself on Sunday. Sunday is also a day, for those of you who like to listen to this program, when we are going to be having a very distinguished, articulate, and important writer on the air. That's Bob Whitaker. Bob Whitaker is an author of the book, or the author of the book, Mad in America. And for those who are interested in this book, or in the subject of psychiatric oppression and pharmaceutical profiteering, and just the incredible mismanagement of people who are suffering crisis in their lives, which some people define as mental illness, other people define in other ways. This man's book is really worth looking at. Again, it's called Mad in America. I've had him on the show twice before. And the kind of the basic issue that he raises is that, and he wasn't any particular advocate for this, but as a reporter, he noticed that, I'm kind of going up to the website here as I speak. He noticed that the World Health Organization found that people who did not take the so-called beneficial psychiatric medications, either the old ones like Thorazine and Haldol or the new ones like lithium and, Prozac, you name it, just did much, much better in third world countries. And some people said, oh, well, third world countries have a family structure that's more supportive, but He said, no, this was looked at in widely differing third world countries. It wasn't a function of that in his view. It seemed to be a function of the fact that, and then he got some physical evidence, that these drugs actually increase psychotic breakdowns either once they're discontinued or even if they're not in many cases, and the people recover much more quickly without them. And he also has done a real fascinating history of the kind of torture defined as treatment programs that psychiatric authorities throughout history have done. And so I'm really lucky to have this guy on. And you can go online to get some information, a partial outline of his book. You go to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz and look for this story, Psychiatric Drug Researcher Bob Whitaker on Free Radio Sunday, or you can just tune in on Sunday at 10 o'clock when he will be calling in. And really worth looking at, and I suggest you do that. I'm going to turn now to a street interview. Actually, it was a third floor of the court or a county building interview. I have been really, I and others have been busy in the courtroom, in the county building. I had a difference between the buildings right next to each other, but the county building is the five-story building right next to the Flatiron Courthouse. And Huff meets every Wednesday in the basement of the county building in that little cafeteria there. Check us out, 9:30 in the morning. And we were having our meeting, and what we've been trying to do is, and I'll actually be talking about this after Osha Newman's interview at 6:30, we're trying to get records for the sleeping ban and what happens to people who are charged with this ordinance, and which is a city council ordinance that makes it illegal to sleep after 11 o'clock at night on any public property at all. It doesn't say you can't sleep everywhere. It says you can't sleep anywhere. So people can't, and more important, it says you can't sleep somewhere unless you're inside a house, or in a campground outside the city, if you happen to be lucky enough to do that. And that, of course, excludes 1,500 to 2,000 people every night, and there's space for 40 of them in Ken Cole's Interfaith Satellite Shelter Drop-In Emergency Program. And he acknowledged that, incidentally, this morning before the Downtown Commission. He wanted to make it real clear, although he wouldn't give numbers. He's gotten very wary about that. I'm not quite sure why, whether he's looking for federal money and he needs to not, contradict the fact that we're doing wonderful things for the homeless so we can get more money because we can do even more wonderful things. I don't know. He doesn't talk to me, and he's made it really clear he doesn't feel like he has to return calls. So I kind of... But I'm a bit cranky about him for that. But then some bureaucrats are like that. I mean, Lynn Robinson, our new activist city councilmember, hasn't returned a call since she was elected, and I've called her half a dozen times. And Tony Madrigal, that great, much misunderstood councilmember, also refuses to return calls. So before you start cheering too loud for Madrigal, you got to look at his record and see what he's really doing. And, the city's full of shit in what it's doing. There's no question about that. Madrigal is being scapegoated by the police department, no question, in my mind. But he's certainly no hero at all in terms of not just this particular matter, but more important matters in terms of basic things he should be doing, in terms of rent control, in terms of supporting the rights of immigrants and poor people, in terms of holding police accountable. He's done none of this stuff. He comes out occasionally with a bullhorn and, orale, orale, that sort of thing. So... let's hear a little bit from the third floor of the county building where I ran across a fellow, actually had gone to the window to ask with this little tattered yellow pieces of paper his tickets he'd gotten from the sheriff's office for sleeping, for camping. Actually, it was for trespass. He was on a field, and they were trying to get rid of him. Well, I'm here in the hallways, third floor of the county building, on May 24th, 2007, about 11:30, talking with...
Henry.
And Henry, we saw you at the adjacent window here at the sheriff's warrant division. You were having some warrants checked out. You're kind of handing them to me. It looks like you've had them around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Before I look at them, tell me what this is about. What happened?
Okay, we hang out down in Soquel at the meadow.
At the...
Meadow.
The meadow. Where is the meadow, for those of us who don't know?
It's out in Soquel, by the drive-in.
Near the drive-in?
Yeah.
Okay. And what was happening?
Well, we were cleaning up the place, and the cops came in like for 7 days straight looking for the owner of the property to give us tickets for trespassing.
These were the sheriffs?
I got two tickets. I think this one is from a forest ranger, and this one's from a sheriff. Uh-huh. And I came to see if I had any words on it, because I didn't come to that court date because it was a Saturday. All my friends were laughing. They'd tell me, oh, you get three little court dates on Saturdays.
You could break into the court, but then you'd be trespassing.
Not only that, on federal property something.
State property, for sure. Actually, it should be our property, but that's another story. All right, so the date of this ticket looks like 5-10-07. And this one, I can't read the date. What was the other one, you know?
They're both for the same place, for trespassing.
And how about the date? Same date? Or?
No, this one was earlier, and that's why I came for this one, to see if I could get them both together so we can come to court, because there's like a bunch of us.
How many of you were there?
Oh, I don't know, 5, 6.
And what were you doing? Destroying property?
No, we were cleaning up the property.
Because you enjoy clean property? Because you were being paid to do so? Why were you cleaning it up?
Because we hang out there.
You like a clean place?
Sure.
And were you sleeping overnight there?
Every once in a while, yeah.
And had you been hassled before for sleeping overnight?
Oh, yeah. I tell you, they came in for 7 days in a row straight.
These were sheriffs?
Yes.
And what first of all, on this occasion, they didn't give you tickets during those 7 days, and then they started giving you tickets at this point?
Yes, because they were saying that they had calls against us being there, and they're looking for the owner of the property, which is out of the country. See, we know it wasn't the owner that was calling on us.
So therefore, they had no legal right to tell you to leave the property because the owner didn't.
Let me put it this way. There's no trespassing sign on the property.
Yeah.
And there's no building on the property, and if we're cleaning up, they should be happy.
So there was no fence, and there was no trespassing sign.
Oh, there's a fence when you're walking in. Anything.
What did the officers tell you?
Well, they told us we were trespassing, and I tell you, they came up 7 days straight until they finally decided they were going to start handing out tickets.
So trespass is a misdemeanor. You're entitled to a public defender and a jury trial. I hope you're going to request that.
Why do you think I'm here? I'm trying to figure out a court date to get them both together and tell my friends so we can all come down. We're all in protest.
Now, you might want to go downstairs to the DA's office on the second floor and see if any charges have been filed, because this might be, it sounds like it probably maybe a harassment ticket, because if the owner hasn't complained or the owner's agent hasn't complained, there's no basis for
this. Check this out. We've been on that property now like about 20 years, and they always like to come and hassle us, and there's bring us in for drinking, you know, having a grand old time. It's just our constitutional right to enjoy peace in this world.
So, how many tickets were given out on May 10th on that day?
I think about 5 or 6.
And are you returned to the property? Are you continuing to be there just because you feel you have a right to be, or because there's been no complaint from the owner?
Let me put it this way: we're on protest, so we keep going back anyway.
Now, did the sheriffs give you another place to go? Did they suggest there were shelters or campgrounds or other places?
We don't do shelters because, you know, we just don't. We like to fly signs and kick back and relax and enjoy life because it's more beautiful.
Now, men and women?
Yes.
Any minors?
Nope.
Any elders?
Yes.
Spanish-speaking folks?
Simon.
English-speaking folks?
Yes.
French-speaking folks?
Well, everybody speaks different languages at times. We even listen to Jim Morrison, you know.
Who knows what language he speaks?
Hey, let me show you this. Check this out.
You're unbuttoning your rather soiled army coat, and you're showing me your T-shirt, which is a Lenin peace T-shirt, and on the back it says, with a red, white, and blue peace sign, give peace a chance. Tell it to President Bush, or maybe tell it to the Sheriff's Department.
All right. Beautiful.
So you probably, since this is a misdemeanor, are there any warrants out for you on this ticket?
Well, actually, when I talked to the nice lady over there, she told me there's no warrants out on it, which I missed the court date, which there should be a warrant out on it.
Well, I could arrest you, make a citizen's arrest, maybe get a reward for you. What do you think?
Why don't you do it, man? You could pay my commissary.
So it sounds like you've been through the county jail system before.
Oh, yeah.
And how many?
Let me put it this way. I was extradited back to Santa Cruz. I lost my girlfriend out of the whole mess. And if they want me in Santa Cruz, they're stuck with me. I ain't going nowhere.
And what kind of charges brought you back here?
Well, see, I had this girlfriend. She fell on the ladder and hit her face, and some lady called the cops and said I was beating her up. And then the cops showed up, and they brought me to court, and she went to court, and somebody intruded, and she had a black eye because she fell on the ladder, because she was really drunk at the time, you know. So they were trying to put me on probation, throw me in jail, and all these great things. And I said, you know what? I'm taking off, so I took off. So my girlfriend followed me down, and I took off to Colorado, and she followed me down there. And I was like, so you got to go, man. She didn't want to stop drinking, and I didn't want to either, you know. And we weren't doing each other well, so she took off. She came back over here. We got run over by a truck and got killed, and I feel really depressed about it. But you know what? That goes on. My other friend died over under the bridge.
His name?
Charles Squires.
Name of your girlfriend?
Colleen Carroll. So a lot of people pass away, and God, in His own reasonable way, does things for us to learn, and that's more important, to be at peace with everybody. So peace to you.
Thank you. We've been talking with
Henry.
Thanks, Henry.
And while we're on the subject, Jon Golder gave me this clipping today from today's Sentinel. Died May 21st of pneumonia, Mike Seymour, 57, of Santa Cruz, California, at Dominican Hospital in Santa Cruz. Born June 10th, 1949, in Waco, Texas. Grew up and attended schools in Waco and in Hondo, New Mexico. Worked in his grandmother Lucy's ranch in San Patricio, New Mexico. Was married briefly and lived for a number of years in Austin, Texas. Went on to spend much of his life as a professional land surveyor in New Mexico, Texas, and California. His top-notch surveying skills were highly prized by those needing accurate determinations of distances and boundaries, particularly in rough terrain. He had excellent eyesight, unusual agility, amazing observational skills, and unwavering commitment to precise detail. His lifelong affection for the outdoors helped Mike find beauty any place he went, in mountains and deserts or on beaches and city streets. No matter where nature hid her gifts, including caves, treetops, and rivers, he was determined to discover them. Mike was admired for his unsurpassed talent in finding fossils, precious stones, artifacts, and petroglyphs in locations throughout the West. He was a voracious reader and had a particular interest in U.S. Native history and natural history. He loved good stories, practical jokes, and laughing with friends, played the violin, and enjoyed a wide variety of music, particularly rock and roll from the 60s and 70s. When the Summer of Love beckoned, he followed enthusiastically. Mike's sculpted features and expressive face gave him a sideline career as an artist model, and he sat for several renowned painters, including Peter LaFuente and Nancy East Lilly. After returning to the Santa Cruz area in the 1990s, Mike became a passionate and outspoken advocate on behalf of the area's homeless, or as he preferred to call them, people who just happened to make their homes on the streets or in their vehicles, for more than 5 years while residing in his van on East and West Cliff Drives. Mike lived a full, active life, made many positive contributions to his community. Rivermouth Mike, as he was known, befriended people of all kinds and ages, helping them in many ways. He took care of dogs whose owners were surfing, warned children about riptides, gave directions to tourists, broke up fistfights, counseled the lovelorn, guarded businesses, removed trash, collected driftwood, and painted native wildflowers. Mike was proud of his independence and cherished his freedom, defending the homeless in media interviews and in public forums. His somewhat gruff manner belied a big heart and lifelong indulgence in random acts of kindness. Mike will be missed by all who knew him. Survivors include his mother, Molly Seymour of Santa Fe, New Mexico, brother Mark Seymour of Bangkok, Thailand, sisters Anne Muriel of Lake Jackson, Texas, Megan Vega of Scottsbluff, and Lucy Kelly of Salt Lake City, Utah. That's from the day's Sentinel, if you want to read it again. It may be online. Mike Seymour has been on this show. In fact, you may be able to find interviews with him by Googling. If you go to the Huff website, www.huffsantacruz.org, you can find old editions, back archives of this show, back shows. Mike was relentlessly harassed by some people in the Santa Cruz Police Department and some local people because he lived in his vehicle. And he stood up for that, and he talked about that. He actually wrote about that for the newspaper Street Spirit, which, by the way, you can get on the streets of Santa Cruz. I think Big Ed is downtown selling the newspaper. Sometimes you can find him in front of the coffee roasting company. That's where I saw him today. And there's a very good issue. This month's issue has Robert Whitaker interviews. The man again will be coming on Sunday talking about psychiatric medications and the huge profiteering and weird psychiatric industry that's around, built around this whole thing and how devastating it is. Seymour was in the studio a number of times. We visited him. Other HEF members and myself went out to his van to talk with him. We actually, I think Becky Johnson wrote a story about him for Street Spirit. That's the same Becky Johnson that Free Radio expelled from the studio. She's not allowed to come in here without an escort, you know. So, against my vote, of course. Soon we're going to be getting a call, I hope, from Osha Newman. I'm going to read this article in the Berkeley Daily Planet, because not only were we successful in beating back the downtown commission today, apparently homeless activists in Berkeley were successful in stopping some anti-homeless ordinances in Berkeley. Here's a story by Judith Shearer in the Berkeley Daily Planet. Council reexamines Mayor's Public Commons Initiative. Mayor Tom Bates has added to and clarified some elements in the Public Commons for Everyone initiative, probably one of the most misnamed initiatives in history. I'm sorry, I had to editorialize, which the City Council will be asked to address tonight. That is Tuesday. This is a three-day-old article, but it's the current one. The meeting will be preceded by a workshop on the status of the city's health information, which will not be released until the 5 p.m. workshop. And such reports showed a dramatic discrepancy between health and longevity of Caucasians living in the Berkeley Hills and African Americans living in the flatlands. The mayor's proposal, which may be off its original fast track, is aimed at removing people with inappropriate behavior from shopping areas. In his new proposal, the mayor has accepted a recommendation from the Homeless Commission to organize a joint meeting among the Mental Health, Homeless, and Human Welfare Commissions. Many of these, we have no such commissions in Santa Cruz, by the way, and there's a reason for that. Many of these commissioners have said that the measure criminalizes homelessness. The mayor and councilmember Gordon Wozniak have been asking the community for its support. A number of positive responses were received. I had some young students visiting from Germany recently. Mama Owen wrote the mayor in support of the measure. They were afraid to cross the street at University in Shattuck due to the number of loitering homeless people. Please, it's time to make our city more livable and friendly. To formulate new laws on, quote, sidewalk obstruction, develop diversion programs, look at community policing, and significant public discussion on the question, the mayor is asking the city to hire a six-month staff person. Because the mayor is asking for existing laws to be more strictly enforced, for the addition of new laws such as no smoking in commercial areas, and for community policing, Bates is asking for a new policy development by the Police Review Commission. To pay for additional police and services, he has proposed funding the initiative by increased parking meter rates and installing new meters. In addition to making Berkeley a city of refuge, see a related story, which we may look at in a moment, the council will hold a public hearing on the budget and discuss Telegraph Avenue and North Shattuck Avenue Business Improvement District's annual reports, sweatshop-free ordinance that will prohibit the city from buying goods made under sweatshop conditions, sunshine ordinance process. Sounds like the Santa Cruz could do something around those lines. And there are a few other items that this columnist, Judith Shearer, in the Berkeley Daily Planet brings up. This whole public commons initiative, I've talked about and I've read previous articles on it before. It's essentially a no-sit-lie law downtown with some additional features. I'm going to Google for it and see if I can get some more details. Again, anticipating a call-in. And let's see here. I've read a lot of this. I've read some of this before in previous stuff. Commission deems Public Commons Initiative too vague. Here's a story from last month, again by the same author, Judy Shearer. Members of the Homeless Commission slammed Mayor Tom Bates' Public Commons for Everyone initiative as mean-spirited, punitive, vindictive, and too vague to address effectively. We're concerned about him running our constituents out of town, said Commissioner Kokavualu Lumukanda speaking at the commission's Wednesday evening meeting at the North Berkeley Senior Center. Bates' proposal is strongly supported by members of the business community who came to the March 13th City Council meeting to say its implementation would help make commercial districts more attractive to shoppers by getting people with problematic behavior off of the city's commercial corridors through a combination of laws and services. Some of the proposed regulations were spelled out in the mayor's initiative and the city manager's work plan, but most of the recommendations were stated in a general way, such as the manager's direction to staff to, quote, develop a proposal for new diversion services. We have so little information, we don't understand how this will help people, said Commissioner Betsy Strode. The intent is vague. It will divide and polarize people, added Commissioner Ken Moshesh. The commission urged unanimously to ask the mayor to address a joint meeting of the Homeless, Human Welfare, and Mental Health Commissions, which apparently he's agreed to do, to answer questions on the proposal. It also recommended the council delay its scheduled May 8th vote, which it also did, and I guess it also delayed a vote two nights ago. So the mayor's proposal is apparently off track. That's what Osha Newman, the attorney and activist who I'm hoping will be calling in, said to me a couple days ago when we chatted on the phone. Actually, I guess it was yesterday we chatted, and that's when he spoke to me about this. Addressing the proposal that would presumably have police cite individuals and then get them into services such as drug and alcohol rehabilitation, Commissioner Paula Hollowell said her concern was that under the new laws, people would get fined and then not be able to pay the fine. She said she did not understand how the initiative would move an individual from the point of receiving a citation to accessing services. Jennifer Vasquez, secretary to the commission, defended the proposal's inexact language. Quote, it's vague because the city's manager's staff did not have a lot of time, she said, noting the proposal had come to the council March 13th and is slated to return there May 8th. Again, this is an April article. Perhaps for action. Now, it's interesting. I want to skip to Santa Cruz because what I heard earlier this morning from, I think it was either Lieutenant Martinez or Sergeant Flippo, that the reason that the police department was not supplying the statistics requested by the downtown commission about the great crime wave in the parking lots that justifies this expansion of, cuts off the parking lots from public use, is that they haven't got the funding to do it. It's just too much trouble to find out. And I was wondering if the commission was going to swallow this, and I was kind of amazed at the boldness of the police department in essentially telling the commission, fuck off and pass our proposal. But apparently that's what they were saying, and the commission kind of looked at the police department and said, you know, we really appreciate you, and we're really going to support you. Well, you can bring it back if you want, but give us something to, you know, I mean, we don't want to be completely regarded as, you know, your hose, to use the some forbidden language. You know, we don't want to be completely regarded as, slavishly following your orders, whatever, however absurd they are, then just saying trust us. And Joe of Atlantis Fantasy World on the Downtown Commission, to his credit, said that. We have a call here. Maybe this could be our call. Who knows? Let's see who's on the line. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yes, I wanted to call in. My friend was on the radio, recorded this morning at the courthouse, talking about all the problems that we're having as homeless people.
That was Henry, right?
Henry, yes.
Right, and are you a person who also has been up out there in that field with him?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Denise.
Hey, Denise. Welcome to Free Radio.
Hey. Well, I wanted to tell you some stories about a few things, but seeing as how we're on the radio, what I could tell you is this.
Go ahead.
That the County of Santa Cruz, the City of Santa Cruz, the City of Capitola, the Highway Patrol, and Caltrans are all in violation of 522.6 California Penal Code, extortion under color of office.
And
that no person shall be denied passage through government lands, even as if to set up a residence, and that when there is no building and no trespassing signs, they can't give us tickets. Now, they're mad because the judges have turned the infraction things over, so they can't give us warrants for flying a sign. So now they're after misdemeanors. And they're threatening to take our stuff all the time, and they take our stuff. They threaten to run us off. They threaten to take my friend's dog. I mean, one cop beat up a teddy bear that was hanging in a tree. How traumatic is that?
Wait a minute now, Denise. You're providing therapy for these police officers, kind of punch therapy. Aren't you happy for that?
Therapy for police officers?
Well, yeah, instead of punching.
My girlfriend had one of them hold a shotgun to her head.
That sounds like the wrong kind of therapy. When did this happen?
months back.
And what was the situation?
They called her a dreg of society.
Right, but why did they pull out the shotgun? What was the supposed justification? What was the circumstance?
Get down on the ground, you dreg of society. I don't want to hear from you anymore.
What had she been saying?
She said, why are you arresting me? I'm in at home in my tent.
And so is that...
We're on private property at this one spot, and we have permission.
And so
why do they keep coming down and saying that they're drunk in public and stuff like that?
So you guys, you gals and guys, are how many people are in this group, more or less?
More or less, there's at least a half a dozen of us that hang together,
and
we have different camp areas.
You're still there tonight? You're going to be going back to the same area tonight?
Oh yeah.
And of course, the sheriffs know you're there, and what they come over and when was the last time you had contact with the sheriff's department? When did they show up last?
Let's see, yesterday, some guys that are housed came out of 7-Eleven, hit my girlfriend and I, and we had to call the police. They couldn't catch him, but it's on report. And the guys all roused it up, and they said, you know, you're beating up on women. What is wrong with you? And this has been going on all week. People who are out are chasing us around. 1 week we were in the meadow and we were chased out 7 days in a row, and the last day they came 3 times and gave us all tickets.
Regarding this last incident that happened at the 7-Eleven, did the cops, these were sheriffs you called, right?
Sheriffs, CHP, there was a gang of them.
Now, did they...
But they were very protective, very kind.
They acted appropriately with...
They acted appropriately, yes, sir.
Now, were these the same kind... Were these the same officers that were acting inappropriately at another time when they came?
No.
So the officers who come and harass you at night, who came every night for a week...
And sometimes during the day.
And sometimes during the day, who came, mm-hmm. you know, every day, or every once a day, or then three mm-hmm. times a day, were these... The same officers every time, or was it a department? The department sent out different officers to harass you?
There's like 2 to 4 of them that act like that.
You have their names?
Yes, I know their names.
Spit them out if you want to.
Okay, well, let me get out my collection of cards in my wallet. Who was the officer's name? Okay, let's see.
Now remember, you're not obliged to tell me anything, and you should also judge your own health and safety as to whether you want to do this. So, because I can't protect you, but you know, we will presumably making these names public, and we know your name is Denise. So, if something happens to you, maybe we can send a condolence card to your grandchild or something.
One cop was waving what he called a trespass notice, what looked to be a blank that came out of his car fax machine. I got the nice cards. I don't have the bad guy's card. I don't know what happened. Sometimes they don't want to give them up. But I know there's... God, I can't remember their names right now.
You know, Denise, it's interesting. If you want to send a rep to the Huff meeting... next week we're going to be meeting there at 9:30 in the morning, and we're going to be distributing cameras...
Yeah?
Portable cameras. We're concerned about police besting up homeless people in the Santa Cruz area and the Poganip and along the riverbanks, but also, you know, out where you are.
We're on Soquel.
Yeah. Well,
and we're in the county.
Dig
and
it.
They're honest like white on rice.
I hear you. So if you
they won't give us any peace.
So if you want to come down and get a camera, and you know then bring us back the film, we'll develop the film.
He wants one of us to come down and pick up a camera. So we can catch these guys harassing us on phone. They're going to give us one.
And
how are we going to get down there?
Well, that's a good question. I can't. I mean, Henry got down there today. You got to get down there.
He had bus money.
Right.
He had an all-day bus pass.
Well, it's possible we may find a way to get you down there. I mean, it depends on what some of us are doing. I'm trying to think of if there's a Huff member who lives out that way and is coming in. You know, I'm usually coming from the other direction. But, you know, has anybody out there got a phone?
No, my phone got stolen.
Your phone got stolen. You know, I think we should do this.
You can call Garden Liquors.
Garden Liquors.
On Soquel Drive.
Got a phone number?
Do you have Garden Liquors phone number?
This is called organizing on the air for all the listeners. So, Denise, how old are you?
I'm 51.
And how long have you been outside?
Well, I came back out to California to straighten up some warrants in October. I've been outside since then. I was inside for like almost 2 or 3 years before that.
And what?
But
what,
before that, I was living here for 3 years outside.
And how were you treated then compared to now?
Same. They'd come and knock our tents down, scare the living bejesus out of all of us.
And when was the last time your tent was knocked down?
Let's see. Caltrans threatened to take all of our stuff and throw it in the dump. And that was like 6-7 months ago.
Okay,
but we got it packed up and out of there before they came, and they did manage a few sleeping bags in one tent.
What about recently? Have you been using tents recently?
I can't hear you.
Have you been using tents recently out there or not?
I have one. It's staffed. I haven't been using one where we're at now.
Because I guess it's a kind of spring going into summer, right?
Well, it's kind of like I've been pushed around so much I haven't got the energy to go across town to go get my tent.
Okay.
I have head injuries. I have bruises all over my body.
If you can spare change the money to get down to the Huff meeting, we'll pay you back.
Okay, it'll be at 309 on Cedar?
No, it will be at the county building in the basement in the cafeteria.
Oh, okay.
You know, 9:30.
I know where that is.
You know that, 9:30 in the morning.
At when? What day?
9:30 to 11:30 on Wednesday morning.
Next Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. But now, let's you want to talk a little more, or have you suffered enough?
I need to catch my breath and eat some soup.
Okay. Anybody else there who might want to chat on
the air? Just Henry's right here. You want to talk to him, Henry?
Well, let me ask you, Denise or Henry, are you there?
What's happening?
Hey, Henry, have you been listening in to us?
Well, you know what? We don't have a radio right now.
I gotcha. Well, we played your entire interview, your discussion of how you lost Carol. And we played, you know, your discussion of what's happening, and it's really, I really appreciate your, you know, having Denise call in, appreciate Denise for calling in. To talk about what's going on, because, you know, that's the only way people learn about this stuff, other than
through... We've got more friends that will call in and speak with you, and if you want, we can go in and do an interview with you all.
Sure. I mean, that's what I'm up for.
If you would like to.
We want to really document is how the police are misbehaving. If they are violating the Constitution, violating the laws, acting abusively, you know.
I think my friend Denise told you that law, what's that law, the... under the cover of the law,
right? Now, can you ask Denise again?
22.6 something.
What? Ask Denise what the penal code again is.
Yeah. Hey, Denise, tell him. She's going to tell him.
I already did that.
Yeah, do it again, Denise.
Okay.
Do you have the number?
No, I can't find the number to Garden Liquors. It's in the book, though.
No, I mean the number for the penal code.
Oh, it's 522.6. It's called extortion under the color of office.
And have you? I take it you've never actually tried to sue anybody under this. Or I mean, actually, it's a
friend of mine did in San Diego County, and won.
Really?
Same things were happening.
Actually, it sounds like it's a.
She was beaten beyond recognition and raped 7 times by a gang of hoodlums.
Mm-hmm.
Troll busters, we call them.
Now, what's I was going to ask you about that. How much of the problems that you have out at the Soquel area, in the Soquel area, are from
troll busters,
and how much are from the police?
Not as bad as in the Pogo Nips.
Tell me more.
But we've had tents shredded, belongings shredded, stereos stomped over the years.
Right, but let's look at the last month. What's been happening the last month out there where you've been?
Well, just in the last couple of weeks, I've been beat up 5 times.
By
people who are housed.
How do you know they're housed?
Well, let's see. One of them lived down the street from my homeless friend that lives in her Volvo. Her daughter says this guy lives 2 doors from them. We got the cops to get him off the street.
And
another one lived with a girl that we know. And we got the cops to get him off the street. Well,
uh-huh.
Garden Liquors did that.
Uh-huh.
And there was the two that hit us last night.
And what was how did that come about?
No reason. I offered a guy a napkin because he's dripping hot dog stuff on the ground and trying to talk on the phone, you know, and you shouldn't have drippets in your phone, you know.
Right.
I was polite.
Uh-huh.
And he hung up the phone. His friend said something to him, and he came up and smacked me upside the head real hard.
And did the police didn't catch this guy?
Oh, they went ape. They said, no, we got to find these guys.
Right.
They're going to view the video at 7-Eleven
uh-huh.
and see if they can identify them.
And it's kind of ironic, the same department that's trying to help you with the assaults is trying to harass you
but
for sleeping.
But they're different people. You know, every officer is different.
Uh-huh. So you don't have the names, you were saying, yet of the officers. Try to get the names of the officers who are doing this. I don't know how you can do it, but... And remember,
okay.
if you can get down to us, like we'll give you, you know, a couple of these throwaway cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You can take some pictures, and you know, we can ascertain at least, you know, put some pressure on the police department. I should say the sheriff's department and the highway patrol to make sure that
sheriff's department, the highway patrol, Santa Cruz City PD, and the Capitol City PD, and the Caltrans are all in violation of that same law.
So. Do you have much connection with other homeless people elsewhere in the city, elsewhere in the area?
Yes, I do.
Because what we're trying to do is there's a court decision, you may have heard of it, the Jones decision in Los Angeles.
Yes, I read that article. I tried to tell Henry about the Jones decision.
I mean, because, you know, it's really hard to sue someone. I mean, the penal code you're talking about requires you get a DA to take some action, which it sounds like.
Well, we need a federal DA because we need to go above the state's head.
Right.
California Highway Patrol and Caltrans are involved,
and
too.
I hear you. And that's a big, you know, row to hoe.
I've got a name.
But, you know, the Jones decision, and I want to hear about it. That's good if you can find that. But the Jones decision, as you know, said that you're allowed to sleep at night, and if they go after you, that's cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah.
And both the city and the county are doing that to homeless people without any shelter options. So what we need to do is start documenting that this is being done. And we also need some plaintiffs. That is to say, we need some people who are willing to say, I want to sue the city, and particularly the city. Because
about eight of us willing to do this. We've been talking about it for months, and we finally decided that we've had enough.
Well, you know,
especially with these housed people coming after us.
Okay. Are you willing to do it in the city of Santa Cruz?
Well, County of Santa Cruz.
Well, I'm thinking of the city.
Caltrans.
Right, but I'm thinking of the
CHP.
Well, let's talk more about this. In fact, if you can get, you know, what we might want to do is arrange a meeting. If you can arrange a meeting time, we can come to the meeting. Huff members can come to the meeting, come out to you, so you don't have to bring everybody else downtown, and we can talk about that.
Okay, we could do that.
Why don't
when we're all together tomorrow, we'll talk about it.
And then call the Huff line, 423-HUFF,
423-4833. Okay, I'll call that line tomorrow after we discuss when we can do this.
And then give us the time, give us a couple of series of times, I don't know how we, and give us a way we can contact you, maybe through the Garden Liquors, maybe through some other store.
Garden Liquors, we can be contacted, yes.
Leave that, in fact, you want to leave that phone number here?
We won't back down.
Well, I don't know the number right now.
Okay, well, the number, again, the off-air number is 423-4833, 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F.
Okay, yeah, I have that card.
Okay.
Okay.
So
but we'll get together, we'll get another card from Garden Liquor, and we'll all get together, and what we'll do is we'll meet you in the meadow where we are on protest.
Okay.
And about the trespassing.
We'll try and do that. Give us. We'll try and get out there, and maybe you can leave an address and times where you usually are. So maybe if we can't get out at one time, we can get out at another.
Okay.
And I this is also a call to other people listening to this broadcast who have friends who have been hassled by police for sleeping or camping,
who
simply want this to end. Who believe.
I know someone who got a ticket on the post office steps in Santa Cruz.
I heard about that recently.
Okay, that was a guy named Steve that I know. And he lives down here in Soquel. And I told him that's a federal offense. They can't do that. They cannot give you a ticket for camping on the post office steps or sleeping there.
Well, it's interesting. That defense has been used.
Protected porch.
Well, the postmaster can cede authority, I think, to the city, but they can't give it to you for other reasons because you're protected under the Constitution, or should be, and mm-hmm. the city attorney is refusing to acknowledge or recognize that, and the city council is refusing to act on it. And the police department is continuing to run people off. So
they're running amok.
I mean, generally speaking, yes, on this issue, no question.
And we have a tourist weekend coming up, and we're all like, ah!
What happens on tourist weekends?
The cops go after the homeless. If it's tourist weekends or if it's raining out, especially on holidays, they come and make you break camp in the rain in the mud and run you off. They better hope you have somewhere to stash your stuff because you got to move fast.
When was the last time that happened to you, Denise?
That happened around Christmas or New Year's. It was Christmas.
And is it fair to say, I mean, you camp out every night, right?
Every night.
And how many nights would you say you actually suffer harassment out of the last 4 or 5 months? Does it happen like every other night, every once a week, twice a night? How often would you say it happens? And don't exaggerate.
All of those.
Right,
it depends on which night it was and which time of the year it is.
So for the last week, how often have you been harassed?
For the last week or two, it's been by housed people, not by the police, twice, three times? When they caught us all in the meadow and gave us tickets. Yeah.
Now let's do some full disclosure.
Yeah, they came down 7 times in 1 week and then 3 times in 1 day. So actually 10 times in 1 week they came down.
Cops or vigilantes?
Cops.
In the last week or in the last month?
In the last month.
Okay.
Well, actually, we all got tickets about 2 weeks ago.
And so the cops are actually helpful in dealing with vigilantes, but they are unhelpful in giving you these trespass and camping tickets. Do they give just trespass tickets, or do they give other kinds of tickets, too?
Trespass tickets this time.
And we're talking...
They're not showing us the trespass notice. And there's no building. There's no trespassing notices. And the owner is in Greece. And there have been people camped out there for over 10 years off and on.
Now, do they have an indication from the... Has anybody been convicted of trespass and gone to trial for this?
No.
And so what happens? What happens? I mean, what's the oldest trespassing ticket you've got on this area?
Well, I just got mine within the past 2 weeks. I've never had one before.
Right, but I mean, how long have you been back in town?
Since October.
So
I used to live here 3 years ago.
Right, but did you get tickets? Did you get tickets in November, December for any camping?
But in December, the Caltrans came along when the cops ran us out of the meadow and threatened us with physical damage and stuff.
This trespass thing is relatively new.
Yeah, that's because they can't get us on infractions for flying a sign anymore.
So actually, what happened there for the benefit of listeners is that Heather Morse, the Superior Court Chief Presiding Justice or Judge, apparently developed a new court rule that said warrants on infractions are not going to be enforced. Instead, they're going to be sent out to
They're not warrantable and they're not... jailable.
Right, they're sent out.
So they send you a bill in the mail.
Sent out to civil
collection. Or you can do community service.
They're sent out to civil collection in Southern California.
And these people can't afford to pay this, and they really don't care about all that.
Well, let's get full disclosure again. I used the word a moment ago. How many people in your group are hardcore alcoholics?
How many people of us are hardcore alcoholics?
All of us.
I heard that. All of you, correct?
Yes.
And what...
I'm not really that bad myself.
Now, what percentage?
I drink everything I can every day and any morning and I love.
You certainly sound alcoholic and drunk as well. But you know Denise? What percentage of the time do you feel you are a problem to the community? I mean, alcoholics, you know, they can be
never. Because when the cops harass my friends for weeble wobbling down the road, they say who's going to be responsible for this drunk, and they always look at me. You're the sober one of the group. And my other girlfriend, who gets taken away a lot, they harassed her at Capitola for they would come down with Capitola cops and they live in Live Oak, okay? And they would take her to jail every day, okay? And
because,
I would get the dog.
Because what? For what crime?
Well,
just drunk in public?
They figure she's drunk in public, but they never test her.
Uh-huh.
They never want to prove it.
Well, let me ask you this.
We know you're on something.
Right, I hear you. If put yourself in the position of a middle-class person or a resident nearby with children, how would you deal, what would you suggest would be a solution to this? Just, what do you suggest?
Well, you know what? I was an upper-middle-class person for many years. Owned my own businesses. I've got 3 million miles under my belt of trucking.
You're a trucker? Former trucker?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I had an accident 1 year, several years ago, because someone was drinking in my car and I didn't know it. And my reactions were altered because they were, like, throwing bottles around, not wearing seatbelts, and I was going to put them out right here at the 76. But this woman cut me off because she had a brand-new Beamer and she was pregnant. They pressed charges and took my license and ruined my life.
Well, let me.
I have been homeless ever since.
Okay. That was what, 3 years ago?
No. That was in 2000.
That was 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm trying to do this thing where I'm a middle-class person who lives in a house nearby. I'm looking out and I see how many years? Seven people? Eight, six people?
Eight.
Eight people. And, you know,
8 to 11 at the time.
8 to 11. And what percentage of the time would you say you're pretty drunk?
Oh, me, not that much. Maybe 20 to 30% of the time. But the rest of them would be about 60% of the time.
And when
some of them maybe just my 30%.
And when the rest of your community is drunk, are they a nuisance to the public, do you think?
No.
And
they do things like panhandle and. They don't bother anyone to, you know, maybe get a DVD player and a movie and watch the movie where you can plug it in one of the buildings, you know. We don't hang out by ATMs. We don't stagger in the road and fall down in front of things. Well, one does. Not me.
You know,
but, you know, fly a sign, stuff
ever,
like
ever
that.
Been to a, I haven't. Have you ever been to a rainbow gathering?
I have.
You know, they have what
years
they call...
Years ago.
You know, they call it a wet camp. Where people who are drunk or do drugs are?
Yeah, it's A Camp.
A Camp. Now, is that a potential solution for people in Santa Cruz and for people in Santa Cruz County?
I think that would be a potential solution.
Because I think that would be something that you would consider preparing a proposal for and getting, you know, other people in the community who have similar problems.
Well, we have a spot
to address,
that
you know.
Fits at least 15 camps. That we're doing the protesting, the trespassing place, okay? And there's been 12 to 15 camps in there at one time, at different times.
Now,
the past 10 years.
Okay, now what about now? How many people are you in? First of all, are all you people English speaking, or are there some Spanish speaking folks?
Well, there's two Spanish speaking, and we all speak English.
Yo no hablo inglés, señor.
Ah, qué malo, muy malo, señor. No puedo hablar con usted. Oh no, it's not bueno.
So what I'm trying to understand is also, do you have any connections with other camps of people who are, you know, they're either people alcoholic or heroin users or otherwise, you know, meth users? I don't know what the deal is, or just homeless and having problems and looking and struggling to
yeah.
survive. I mean, because what's
there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. At least 5 areas that I know of that are being threatened.
Would you like to do some research and make some contacts with those people and get them in touch with us? Because that's the kind of information we need, and that's the kind of organization we need
and
to really make a change.
And most of them are on government land.
Well.
Which means they shouldn't be being
right,
with.
Right, right. In public spaces, and
mm-hmm.
if there's no alternatives, that's where you're, you know, they can't, there's no legitimate way to.
And people who own private land, they can't do
arrest
anything with it because it has gas lines and mountain runoff going through it. So they can't put any buildings on it, so it just sits there and people camp out. And we were just cleaning up this one place, and they went crazy on us. We have receipts to show over $320 in dump fees.
Wow. Well, look, are any of you particularly good at writing? Because this is a story that should be written up.
Yeah.
Anybody
I am. If people would quit hitting me in the head,
I mean,
think straight.
Can you touch type? Are you able to write to type pretty fast? Are you able to write?
Oh, I'm really good.
Because, you know, when we get if you come to the meeting on next Wednesday, you know, we can probably arrange for you to have access to a computer, you know, to be able to type up your story. Alternately, you know, some of your story is being told here on the air, so people can listen in and people can comment. I'm really sorry you guys don't have a radio, otherwise you'd be able to listen
to us. Oh, I have one friend back at camp who's got the only working radio, and I set him up to listen to this.
Oh, that's great. Well, look, Denise.
It doesn't record, but.
Well, as long as if it listens, at least you get to hear. And
yeah.
More important, we get to hear you. So I would encourage you to, you know, call the Huff line either now or later once you've talked to some people and figured out when you guys want to have a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't guarantee I'll be there necessarily, but, I mean, if you give me a couple of times, if you actually...
Well, tomorrow I'll get everybody together and organize something.
Okay, and try calling that number and leaving a time that I can call back or a place that I can where you guys are generally going to be so I can go check you out.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can all talk together.
Okay.
And we've been talking with Denise and Henry. And any last words for the Free Radio audience as we slowly try to organize here?
Viva la protest and quit messing with the homeless.
Thanks, Denise.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. Phone lines are open. It looks like Osha Newman didn't call in. He's a bad lawyer. Or he's probably a good lawyer, but he forgot the call. Or perhaps he was arrested. Maybe he had a heart attack. Who knows what happened. Anyway, I'll get back to him. And he has been on the air in the past, and he will again. And I think perhaps it's more important that we actually have people who are trying to deal with these issues and who are getting swatted down for it. And frankly, I'm not terribly sympathetic with people who are drunk on the streets and, you know, panhandling me. But I think it's a reality that these conditions exist, and the idea that people should not have some alternatives to be able to live as human beings, however wretched their situation, is to me untenable, unacceptable. What do you think? 427-3772 is the call-in number, 427-FRSC. Call in.
He came.
And that was Phoenix, who's a street singer, and it's a song from an album I don't know the name of, I don't know the song of, but it's a lot of good songs. Online with me now is Millie, but Millie's going to have a little trouble because she's getting feedback. Millie, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, you got a question for us.
Well, it's a question for you, okay. Which is, when are you going to air the tape that you did with all those people and myself?
Yeah, now we actually... You actually are a longtime activist and observer in the community. I ran into you at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center about 3 or 4 days ago. Maybe it was day before yesterday. And that will probably be... I may air that later this evening before the 7:30, or it may come on Sunday in the earlier hours of the morning, like around... I'm going to try to get it on 9 o'clock, maybe on Sunday morning. The answer is I can't really tell you, but if you want to leave me your phone number on the Huff line, 423-4833, I'll be able to get back to you and try to give
you... I have left it, but I haven't heard from you.
Are you sure? I've been checking my messages pretty regularly. I haven't gotten... Maybe when did you leave it?
Yesterday.
Try it again, because I'm pretty...
I'll do that.
Yeah, 423-4833. And... gosh, and then you can also email me at rnorse3@hotmail.com.
Uh-huh.
You could try
that.
Well,
I enjoyed your interview with Denise.
Well, thank you. What did you think about that?
I'm sorry that she has not been able to put her life together in all this, well, since 2000, I believe.
Right.
There are resources for an intelligent person like herself in particular.
Well, you got to be able to sleep at night too, and I guess that's the first step here is to let these people left alone enough to be able to do
that
what they need to do.
That is the first step, yes.
I mean, you know, it's interesting, Millie, you and I mean, we are on different sides, I think, on the Jerry Henry issue, but I think we are all quite on the same side on the rights of homeless people.
Sure,
no question about it. I think that's why it'll be productive to play that interview and to talk
but
to
I
you about it.
I don't think you understand everything that Jerry has done over the years.
And for those who don't know...
He wouldn't tell you himself.
Sure. I mean, for those who don't know, we're talking about Jerry Henry out at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. He's actually been on the air many times, and we've interviewed his friends. We've interviewed some critics like yourself. And, you know, I've given my own commentary. And I got to admit, you know, my bias is I believe that, you know, that Jerry is being harassed by police out there. And you have a different impression, and you gave a very articulate discussion of that, which I hope to play, along with some responses by people in his group. So it's really an interesting discussion. Again, we're talking about, to me, it's the right of poor and homeless people and young people not to be harassed by police in a shopping mall, which is open to the public, and even more so on Pacific Avenue in downtown Santa Cruz, and certainly, as we've just seen, when they're trying to live off to the side in an area of property where there's no clear crime happening, so they're just trying to survive. Still, people are getting harassed, and that, to me,
well,
is, you know...
I complained about that to John Muth years ago. However, in the case of Jerry, he is not homeless. He lives in a big compound in the mountains, and as I understand it, he helps other people who are homeless. However, I have never seen the police harass him, and he asks for it. He taunts them, and they still don't do it because they don't want to deal with him.
Well,
They don't want to deal with any more court hearings.
Well, again, Jerry has been banned from here and there, and I've seen the basis for a lot of bans is very, very thin. I mean, Jerry's not a violent guy. He may be a loud guy, but he's not a violent guy. Have you ever seen him violent?
No, I haven't, but I've seen him disturbing other people's enjoyment of the coffee shop when the doors are open and he stands there screaming and bellowing and upsets everybody within earshot. And the police are not there on weekends to stop him.
Well, I mean, that's not true. That police can be called. I mean, the police can
oh, well,
and will come.
Of course,
come,
but they don't come for him. What you don't get is they're sick of him over the years.
Well, it's more...
They're sick of the Jerry problem.
It's more that if...
And so they don't come out because Jerry is bellowing in front of the coffee shop.
You know,
believe me.
You know, Molly, this
I'm
is...
An ab- I'm an... habitué of the place.
Right.
And I really know what's going on.
Well, and Millie, you actually give a very, and you're speaking very articulately, but what I'd like to do is play this at a time when we can do the whole thing. I mean, I can give you my caveats, and I can tell you my experiences, which, you know, I'm not out there as much as you. I'm there occasionally, and I interview people, and I've interviewed probably, I don't know, a dozen people and probably done hours and hours of tape on this. But, you know, I can't say for sure one thing or the other except, you know, based upon, I guess to some extent, it's a question of partially of who you believe and also your own experience. And I know that I'm not homeless, but police have harassed me repeatedly on different occasions, not recently, but it happens. And it happens, you know, it happens because police want to, you know, they don't like to have people challenging their authority. And Henry does, and therefore, and when he was, you know, treated by his lights badly by Gottschalk's and the coffee roasting company and the sheriff's substation, he let the community know about it. And they, you know, obviously people didn't like hearing that. They didn't want to, they wanted to have a nice cup of coffee and not be told that there was some kind of discrimination going on in their community. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, that's, you know, I can understand their desire, but I also understand, and then I think the Constitution understands, the right of the person to definitely put out his perspective. And frankly, I'm on the side of that other person because I feel that he's probably in the right in this matter, and you, of course, feel the other way.
Well, of course he has the right to express himself, but not in a manner which constitutes disturbing the peace.
Well, that's
and that's what he has done.
Well, if it does, if it constitutes disturbing the peace, believe me, he would have been convicted of that because the judges are not particularly sympathetic to merchants, and they're not particularly unsympathetic to police and sheriffs. At least that's been my experience. There are exceptions, but not in the case of Kelsey. And I guess Kelsey's the judge who was involved in Henry's case.
Well, I don't know which violation under which he was banned. The first banning, I believe, was several years ago. And he couldn't go within hundreds of feet of the coffee shop.
You know, Millie,
that was changed to
Millie, we can't,
20 feet.
You know, I don't want to get into it now because it's these details are very important, but they require more time. So
I concur.
Yeah. So let's. I'm gonna actually, you know, I'm gonna play the tape at which you mention all these things. Assuming I haven't lost the damn thing, I think I have it here. And we're gonna do that probably. It's probably gonna be next Sunday. There's a long interview on Sunday for those who are listening and those who don't know, with Robert Whittaker, the author of Mad in America, about the incredible effects of psychiatric drugs, medications, and
frightening
forced drugging.
So you don't mean this Sunday, this coming Sunday, that you're going to play the tape? It's next. The following Sunday, is that what you're saying?
Well, I did mean this Sunday, but frankly, now that we talk about it, I think it might be best to put it off. But I'll let you, if you can get in touch with me, try another message on that on the Huff line for those who are interested.
Okay.
423
Huff. Intiendo. Got it?
Say
you
that again?
Understand? Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
You intendo. Okay, I got you. And I'll nintendo, so there you are.
You what?
I will intendo as well. I mean, I understand.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Millie, and keep listening.
You're
and
welcome.
Call in again.
I was very happy to meet you.
And I love meeting you, too. Bye-bye. Phone lines are open. You can meet me on the air. 427-3772 is the number here. 423-4833 is the number off air. And now I turn to another more colorful kind of incident, series of incidents that's been happening in the last 2 days. I began discussing this at the beginning of the show. For about 3 or 4 years, I and others have been trying to put together information about how the courts and the police are dealing with people under the city's municipal code 6.36010A, which is the sleeping ban. It's a section of the camping ordinance which says that you cannot sleep after 11 o'clock at night until 8:30 in the morning on any public property or on private property that is not a domicile, unless you are talking about a backyard or a fenced in side yard, out of view from the street. So, and there are a couple of exceptions. You can park for 3 nights in a driveway per month. That's the three nights and get out of town proposal of former council member, former mayor Tim Fitzmaurice. And then you can also, if you are able to do so, get the permission of a church or a nonprofit or a business to park in a parking lot of the church parking lot overnight in a vehicle. And that would be, you can do that up to, there can be up to three vehicles in that parking lot or two vehicles in a business parking lot. So those are the exceptions as far as the camping ordinance goes. But, of course, and the emergency shelter program, as mentioned before, provides space for only 40 people tonight out of a estimated population, not in the county, which is much larger, but in the city. Denise and Henry earlier called in from the county, not from the city, of 1,500 to 2,000 people. So 1,500 to 2,000 into 40 does not go. Not that everybody would use those shelter spaces, but they're just completely inadequate. And we have found through the courts have ruled in the Jones decision in L.A. that you can't, if there's a massive shelter shortage, you can't arrest people for sleeping, period. I mean, you can arrest them for other crimes, but not for sleeping. So I've been trying to get evidence of, you know, what exactly has been, show the pattern of arrests, show how the kind of fines people have to pay, show whether they've been able to pay their fines, how often these fines go to warrant. And to do that, we've asked the court for the records on Municipal Code 6.36010A. Courts have refused to help us. First, they just said they didn't have the capability. Then they said it would be too expensive and it would cost too much money. Then it was, again, they didn't have the capability because we have to give them the names of each defendant. So we went to the police and we made a Public Records Act request. And last year, we were able to secure the names of every person ticketed under the sleeping ban from April to November of 2006. So then we went to the Parks and Rec Department and got that ever-eager beaver ranger John Wallace to give us, actually, it was his superior, who let us make copies of all the tickets, and we had to pay for that, of course. We paid a couple $100. We got all the tickets, and we were able to chart out the number of citations under the 6.3601A sleeping ban of the law, the municipal code law, not the state law, not Bush's law, not Schwarzenegger's law, but Mayor Riley's law. You know, that's who we're talking about. Dick Wilson, our city manager's law. The local, the little progressive law, you know. So we then found there were about 50 to 60 citations a month. If you add together Parks and Rec, Ranger Wallace did as many tickets as the entire police department every month. He's a real go-getter in that field. He's not a bad guy to talk to, you know, and he's a very zealous person. He has a very strong commitment to environmental protection. The problem is that the environment doesn't include homeless people. They're not allowed to be there, you see. They are they're excluded from that particular protection. In fact, they are the nuisance. They are the blight. They are the virus or the cancer. These aren't his words, but they seem to be. You know, they're the basis. You know, Wallace comes upon these people and then sends in Labor Ready and Public Works to destroy their tents, compact their property, and throw away their possessions, which is illegal, but it's done anyway. So am I accusing Wallace of being a criminal? Yes, and the entire system he's working for as well. Does that mean he isn't a nice guy? No. I talked to him today. He's a nice guy. It's a strange irony that the people who are engaging in routine criminal behavior think that they're engaging in good stuff. I mean, you see it, of course, every day in Iraq. Or you don't see it because we don't see that Iraq stuff, luckily. Or we probably go crazy or spend our time hiding under the bed. But that's another story. Anyway, went to the courts. We went back to the courts and said, look, we have the names of all these people. We want to have printouts of all this. And they said, first they didn't answer us. We can't do that. We don't have to do that. We haven't got the capability to do that. Finally they said, okay, we'll do it for $15 per person. Now, 300 times $15 per person is about $4,500. So we said, no, that doesn't sound right. So we went back again and we said, look, we really want just access to the records. We don't want you to print out anything. Just let us see the records. We have the right to look at the public records. Come on. So we finally got an email from Alex Calvo, who is the chief executive officer of the courts. He recently appropriated the library there, the law library. Apparently they didn't like the way it was being independently run, so he took it over, or that group took it over. But that's neither here nor there. It is, in a way, because it happened right after Ben Rice's medical marijuana seminar there, and I think, I don't know. It's hard. I mean, you know, one can only speculate. In any case, Calvo sent back a letter. And the letter, I have a copy of here. It was sent to attorney Kate Wells, who has been trying to be helpful, but is herself overburdened and so can't really afford to just simply take these clowns to court and say, hey, you know, here's to a judge, these people are acting illegally. You know, they're denying people access to public records. Let us see the public records. I mean, that's the simplest thing to do, but it's not, it costs lots of hours of work, and, you know who's paying for that? Anyway, the letter said, the Santa Cruz Superior Court is unable to provide electronic access to the public at this time. However, it is a situation we are currently working on to change. I've been hearing this, by the way, for 4 years from the courts. Government Code Section 70627C provides for a $15 fee for each search taking more than 10 minutes. Searches currently take from 3 to 30 minutes, depending on the amount of information provided by the defendant, location of the file, and copying requirements. I am suggesting that the court treat the 168, at that time it was 168, now I have about 300 cases, as one request and assess a $15 charge for each 10-minute increment of the total time, plus a 50 cents a page for each photocopied page. The traffic division estimates it would take from 2.5 to 6 hours to complete the project. So that would mean $15 for 10 minutes, which would be 6 times 15 is $90 an hour, which is about $300 to $500, which is cheaper than $4,500. I suppose that's, you know, that's an improvement. But we realized that we shouldn't have to pay anything at all to see the records. Maybe to get copies of the records, maybe if we have to, personnel have to be assigned to help us seek out special information, but all we're looking for is to look up a particular case of a particular person with a particular name and date. That should be accessible to anybody. And we don't insist to be electronically accessible. We're willing to look at the printed record. Of course, they don't have printed records much these days, but that's their problem, not ours. Their responsibility is to have records available for us to look at and not to charge us for it. So I went to the window a couple times last week and asked for a record or two of somebody who had gotten a camping ticket, and the clerks were very nice. They gave me the printout, of the 3 or 4 page printout of a couple of these records. And then on the advice of our attorney, Kate Wells, and her associate, we went in to suggest, look, do 9.5 minutes worth of work working on this. Don't do 10 minutes, because then you'll have to charge us $15. But anything under 10 minutes is, you know, doesn't cost anything. It's a public record. So just do that, and we will, you know, be happy. I mean, won't be happy, but we'll, you know, we'll slowly get these records, and we'll be able to look at them, and it won't cost us an arm and a leg to do it. And you'll also satisfy the requirements, although, you know, you really should have these records available. We can sit down and look them over, you know, and take the time we need to do the research, because these are public records, open to the public. We are the public. We want to see them. So yesterday, after the Huff meeting, which happens every Wednesday at 9:30 in the morning in the basement of the county building, Bernard Klitzner, Thomas Levitt, and I, three activists, went to the basement and made that request. And I recorded what happened. I'm going to be interrupting the tape because it's a little fuzzy at points. We first encountered a clerk who was very sympathetic, and she corrected some confusion we had. But apparently, the police department number has a C in front of it, and the court number has a P in front of it. So we had to change that around. And she looked it up, but then she realized that she wanted to get her supervisors okay before doing, you know, what we asked. And we then ran into the Tess Fitzgerald problem. And she's the woman who's been essentially doing fancy footwork for the county to stop us from having access to these records and from complaining about it. And I'm going to start playing what happened yesterday in the basement of the county building.
You don't, you can tell them you don't need printouts as long as you can see all the information on each case.
And that's me talking to Bernard, who is making the request. I'm also at the window with my tape recorder, and we're waiting. I think we're waiting for she's trying to get her supervisor to come back.
Okay. They got some other way of doing that? Then that's just dandy. We'll sit here with a notebook and write down notes.
Okay.
Supervisor.
Tess is her.
Isn't this the same thing?
Well, actually, she recommended that we proceed to have you do 9.5-minute intervals. So it's under 10 minutes. So you can just do however many you can do in 9.5 minutes. And we will accept that. And you don't have to print them out unless you want. In other words, Alex has said that anything over 10 minutes, you have to be paid for. But under 10 minutes, we have the right to public time. Therefore, in fact, we prefer not to have any of your time used up. We prefer to have access to these files directly.
Right.
But we just want you to give us the files, show us the files. You don't have to print them out if you don't want to. If you have some other way of showing them to us, that's fine, but you know we have the right to see them. They're public records.
Right. Well, generally what we require of everybody when they have a request like this is that they put in a request, because it's not something that we do at the counter, as you can see, because it impedes the flow for everybody else. So...
Right. Well, you know, you've received this request repeatedly for the last 6 months, so that's why we're here now. Sorry.
Right, guys. And it's really not something that it's kind of over my head, and I guess your attorney...
So, let me just understand. So you're denying us access to these records now. Is that true?
I'm not denying access.
Okay, well, then we'll wait until we get them.
We've got a copy request.
What's happening here is a friendly conversation, in a way, with Tess Fitzgerald, and she's, you know, we've kind of covered the ground as to why we're there and what we're expecting. Less than 10 minutes work. For as many names you can give us, we want to note, you know, like whether the case went to trial, how much the fine was, and so forth. And she is saying that, you know, it's over her head and so forth. And the whole thing would end in a moment if she simply said, I can't do this. And we would have essentially documented on tape that she's denying us access to the records, which is what we're trying to get documented. But you'll notice she avoids saying that. And that's where things begin to get a little hairy. And you'll hear that now. She begins to refer to a form that we have to fill out. But the form that she's talking about requires a $15 charge. And we aren't interested in a $15 charge. And people at the window have the right to a level of service, which is up to about 10 minutes worth of service. And that's what we're asking for. And that's what she's denying us. And away it comes. And here's more from this particular encounter. Again, yesterday in the basement of the county building.
Because this isn't the place that you would get an extensive record search while there's one window open, there's a line right there.
Uh-huh. Well, where would that be? Where would that place be?
Well, let's see. Hold on one sec.
Sorry about this, folks.
Sorry.
No problem. And I would apologize to everybody in line here.
Oh, you might want to remember that these are P's.
Can you make a note of it? Just put it's a P down there.
I'm assuming they all are.
Right, thank you.
She has the power to open another window.
Yeah, she could open a second window for these folks if she wanted.
And one of the problems was that there were people waiting, and you know, we obviously were holding up the line, or she was, by not giving us access to the records.
And our records are set up to where we do look at, we do need that letter.
Appreciate that. And it's probably the case with the rest of them, too. This came directly from the police department, so we should probably let them know that that's probably
right,
inaccurate.
That's their code or something, but there is a letter that precedes that, and that's what we need.
Okay.
But I think if it's Santa Cruz... PD, they're all P's, so just remember that though when you ask them.
Very good. Why not?
It's not clear why she wasn't simply allowing us access. Maybe she was talking to a superior. Hard to say.
There are folks waiting here, so maybe you could open up a second window. I mean, they're, you know.
My partner's at lunch, so I can't really do that.
And then you go to lunch. Yeah. Afterwards, right.
Right.
I see.
So what we did is we allowed somebody to step in and get served while we were waiting for Supervisor Tess Fitzgerald
to come
back.
So while we're waiting, I'd like to make a request for this one right here. Just this one.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're looking for a request for Mulvihill. Halfway down the citation list.
This becomes more interesting soon, so don't fall asleep out there.
Yeah, about 2 or 3 minutes left.
Is this one? Which one?
The one that's right under that group that you...
We're talking to another woman who's the original person at the window, and her boss has, you know, told us that she can't help us, and or that she's going to try to find another place where we can do it, or it's not quite clear what her position is. She's tried to say, well, I'm not going to deny you
access. It's not 10 minutes of research time. They're spending 10 minutes...
And I'm feeling a little nervous because there are people waiting in line behind me, and I'd rather, you know, they got served, but I
want
to be served too.
We want, and then this man could be on his way, but we're not getting it.
Well, here comes this super.
Right.
They're going to bring you the records request form that they have people fill out upstairs, and you can go ahead and step to the side. The clerk's going to bring it down. She'll give it to you. You can fill that out, and then we'll go ahead and meet that request. Okay?
Uh-huh. Will you be meeting it today?
Well, you've got what? How many here?
We just asked for 9.5 minutes worth of however.
Well, who's to say that's 9.5 minutes?
We're asking you.
No, you misunderstand, Tess. We're looking for only 9.5 minutes worth of work, if that's 1 or 6. We don't care. Stop after 9.5 minutes. Okay?
I'm going to have her bring down the thing. I've got to go. We can fill it out.
Before we leave, I want to know if that's acceptable, because if it's not, we'd be happy to wait here until we know if it is acceptable. Let's understand exactly what we're going to do.
It sounds like I'm going to be having a little trouble with this tape recorder. Let me try the other one at this key moment, because this is where things get a little hairy. Let's see what we're doing.
That takes you. Yes or no?
Thank you.
Here, let me spin back a little bit.
To do 9.5 minutes worth of work, however far that takes you. Yes or no?
Thank you. I don't really know that you can estimate what 9.5 minutes worth of work.
You use your watch, and after 9.5 minutes, you stop. That's how you estimate it. You don't even estimate it. You do it.
I'm just not going to have an argument with you.
It's not an argument. Are you saying you refuse to do this? Are you saying you decline to...
I'm not saying I'm refusing egg dancing.
Well, then we'll stay right here. We just want you to do 9.5 minutes.
Step to the side.
We've been waiting for you to begin to address this, right? And the 9.5 minutes would start when you begin to research it. You haven't begun any researching yet.
All I want to do is make a payment.
Here's a man who wants to make a payment.
Right.
No, this is your problem, not hers.
Yeah.
No, it's a bunch of people's problems.
I told you what I can do for you now. If that's not acceptable to you, then
there's a second window right there that can be opened if you want.
No, sir,
look at this. This is not acceptable, a $15 fee.
No. That's not what the court administrator said. You've seen his letter. We want to have access to these records.
This is not the time for me to argue this with you.
No,
sir.
This is the time for us to get access to the records. That's why we're here.
We're not going to do that right now.
You're refusing. Okay, you are refusing access to the records. That's correct.
What I'm telling you is that this is a request for multiple searches. I don't know if this is 9.5 minutes.
Record
searches are not processed at the counter.
I am not requesting.
For the very reason that you've got this many people here, you're impeding us serving the public right now.
We are.
And now what's happened here is that she's changing the issue, of course. She's saying that we've got a lot of names. It might be more than 9.5 minutes. We say we just want 9.5 minutes worth of work on whatever, however far you get. And she's claiming that we can't do it at the window, which of course we can, because we've suggested another venue if she wants to tell us what that is, but she hasn't. And we also are willing to leave if she just tells us she won't serve us, but she doesn't want to do that either. So this is what happens.
They're going to call the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, it's about 11:55, and
the supervisor is declining to give us access to the records and is insisting we fill out a records check request when we're only looking for essentially 9.5 minutes worth of work. We've been here for 10 minutes waiting to get any kind of research done on this whatsoever.
Sure, we take this as evidence?
Sure, take it as evidence. And instead of giving us access to the public records, they're insisting that they have to make a records search. But it's not a records search. We are looking for access to the records. That's all.
What do you want, David? So we're not ready to confront the police over this, are we?
I don't know. I'm happy to do it. You don't have to. You can stand back.
Okay.
They're violating the law, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
How long is your thing going to take?
What?
How long is your thing going
to
take?
What I'm doing now is I'm inviting a person to come up and while we're waiting for Tess to call the police to let somebody else in.
While we're waiting for her to come back, Thomas, do you mind if he goes in front of you?
No.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm saying that I have anything else to do, but you're welcome to go ahead. Fine. Understand. I just want to get out of here.
And so do we.
This is a private business, so we just stand aside.
Thank you.
I would think at this point some time has passed, and I believe the police, the sheriff's deputies, and there were four of them, have arrived.
There are four individuals that are supposed to do the work. Doing this moment, letting us go. So we're waiting for the supervisor to return.
And this is what she wanted us to fill out. Did that continue in the home? Yes.
Police haven't arrived yet, but will shortly. Sheriff's deputy.
We're trying to get records for homeless people who have gotten sleeping tickets. They've held us up for years on this, and they're still trying to hold us up. So they're required to do it, but they're trying to stop it from happening.
Sure.
And they also should be opening a second window.
And actually, I'm talking to a woman in line named Amber, who is becoming very sympathetic to what's going on, even though she has had to wait. Because Tess Fitzgerald has refused to either give us access to the records or simply say, I won't do it. She will do neither of these things because she realizes she'll be held liable if she does. At least that's my analysis.
Well, it's not. It's legal access to records. If you walk up there and ask for a record, you have a right to see it.
Right.
And they're not doing that. They're not letting us see the records. So that's why we're here. And I apologize to you guys for it. They're the ones who
are. I don't want to wait forever, but, yeah.
Right. Thank you.
So what are we going to do?
Well, I'm going to document the fact that she's refusing. We requested it, and we'll take this evidence into court if we ever get to court, that we made a request for a record, and they're not doing it.
Yes.
Is paying his fine after having had to wait 10 minutes at the window. When those records...
Whether or not, if you just request a single record, you have to go through the same process. It would seem to be...
What's happening is that Thomas Levitt and I and Bernard Klitzner are waiting in line here, giving a person access to the records while the supervisor calls the police to stop us from getting access.
Can I take one more?
Sure. Hand me the record.
And here I thought that the... Can I take one more? I thought she meant this is a woman at the window.
No. Okay, we're waiting.
Okay.
We have a right to be here. So. She didn't say that. She just said she wanted a Records Act request, and all I said we wanted to give us, you know, what's required by the court administrator. So while I'm waiting, can I get a record accessed here? Or not? I'd like to see, I'm looking for access to the public records. Is that possible?
What's up?
Officer, they'll give you. Well, what's happening is I am trying to get.
And here the police have arrived. I'm talking to an officer. I think it's Valdicia. She's a short female officer, deputy sheriff.
Access to certain public records.
Let's do a favor. See this long line here of people who are waiting?
What?
Let's go over here, about it.
I have to ask you, why you want to talk to me?
Well, you're creating a disturbance, from my understanding. Okay? My understanding is you're creating a disturbance, but let's...
He's a witness. He's talking to all of us.
No. She's talking to... Let's let business...
I am... This is business. Are you... I would like to know... Wait a minute. What authority are you saying this? Are you claiming... Are you going to arrest me for creating a disturbance?
Not at all.
Well, then I'd like to preserve my pace in line, because I'm trying to get some records here.
Well, at this time, they're asking that you leave the building. They have that right. We'd like these people to continue business. Okay? So I'm trying to figure out what's happening.
I understand. Who's making the complaint?
The clerks are. You're creating the disturbance.
Are you making a complaint? She's not making a complaint. I'd like to know the name of the complaining person.
At that point, I asked the clerk, who was the original clerk I talked to under Tess Fitzgerald, if she was making the complaint, and she said no.
We've been instructed by the employees here that they'd like you to leave.
Complaining person. Who's complaining?
We are asking them to leave because of, on your behalf, right?
She said, he isn't saying anything.
Yeah, I need to call the next person.
What's the name of the clerk is requesting? What's your name?
My name's Pat. I need to help the next person.
Okay, Pat. So you're declining to help me. Is that correct? At this time.
At this time.
Don't put me in the middle of that. My supervisor told you what you needed to do.
So you're declining.
That's Pat saying she doesn't want to be put in the middle of it because her supervisor said she couldn't help it. She doesn't want to have to say she's not going to serve me, and she ends up saying so, at which point I leave the window.
You're declining.
You need to do what my supervisor...
I'm just trying to document this for the court.
And that's understandable.
So you are declining, correct? You will not serve me at this time.
I'm telling you that you need to do what my supervisor just told you to do.
And you've been instructed not to serve me, is that correct?
You need to let me know.
Have you been instructed not to serve me? I'm just looking for that answer.
No. I'm just trying to wait on the next person in line. That's what I'm trying to do.
You won't wait on me, right? Just say you won't wait on me. That's all. Just say you won't wait on me. Just say I won't wait on you. Thank you. That's fine. That's all I wanted is documentation.
Thank you.
Okay. What the fact? No, I'm. This is a public building, and I have a right to be here.
The next part of this tape is me talking to the deputies about it. That's really not the key part. The key point is they're declining to provide access to the records, but I'll play a little of it. And on Sunday, I'll play what happened to us today when we went in. They again called the police, and this time I think Tess Fitzgerald really screwed up. But you'll be hearing more of that on Sunday when I come back at 9:30 in the morning, maybe even a little earlier, since Thomas Levitt has a great show, The Wake-Up Call, that I occasionally invade.
I'm in the hallway.
But unfortunately, you've been asked to leave by the clerks of the building.
And can you cite the law under which you're requiring me to leave?
You're creating a disturbance in a business area.
I'm just trying to get a public record. I'm just trying to create a public record.
So we're asking you very nicely to leave.
Okay, and I don't believe this is a disturbance.
I'd like to say on record as a person who is waiting in line here that you are not the person who is creating this disturbance.
I'm in line. I have my own request.
You guys are not doing...
No, I have my own request.
What you heard first was the voice of a woman named Amber, who was right behind us in line, as I mentioned before, who felt we weren't creating the disturbance. And the second voice is that of Thomas Levitt, who they are also refusing to serve, but I think they changed their position on that because they were regarded as part of the suspect group, that is to say, the group with me, myself, Bernard Klitzner, and Thomas Levitt, all members of HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, trying to get records about homeless sleeping tickets that the courts apparently don't want us to see.
I have a request that's separate.
The disturbance was made because they wouldn't honor 9.5 minutes worth of work, and by the five police officers coming here, not by this person who was just...
Can you give me your name?
My name's Amber.
How do you spell that?
A-M-B-E-R.
If you've got that number, you can reach up.
I'm going to leave Amber's number off the air, but I will be contacting her later.
Area
hey,
code.
How's it going? Good. So we have four deputies here. We have Deputy Shearer. How are you doing? And
Deputy Biscano. And we have Deputies Brim and Valdivia. And again, this is nothing personal, you understand. And I'm sure it is with you. I appreciate that.
It's not personal.
Right. And if I decline to leave, it's not because I'm trying to resist this. It's because I believe I have a right to be in a public building, and I don't believe I'm creating a disturbance. I believe there's a disagreement between us, but it doesn't rise to a disturbance.
Well, what I've asked you is to explain to me what it is you're
Deputy
looking
Val,
at, because I don't
Val
know.
DC
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
I mean, now that we got here's the situation. For many years, we've been trying to get access to certain court records. We filed requests, and we've been given different excuses. I know you don't know anything about this. Now, on the advice of our attorney, we came to the window to request their usual procedure of getting court records. We were told by Alex Calvo, the head of the court administrator here, that if we anything under 10 minutes in terms of searching court records doesn't cost anything. So I went up and I requested that they search for 9.5 minutes for as many of these names as they could find on the record and just let us see the records. We don't want them to give us printouts necessarily. We just want to see the public records. The court administrator came out and gave us this form suggesting that they were going to assess a $15 fee. I told her this was not in accord with, and I can show you the letter by Mr. Calvo. I've got it in my bag, that this is not appropriate, and indeed, you know, we're simply trying to, someone's coming through here, access to those records. So I simply,
it's shaking, so.
I'm sorry. This is her form. And I said, we're simply trying to, we're not looking for you to search the records. We just want to see the records. We'll search the records. In other words, a record search is a particular kind of thing that a clerk has to do in order to find some particular information. All we want to see are the public records. It's like if you wanted to see a particular record of a particular case, that's public information.
Let me ask you this. Is this where Mr. Calvo instructed you to go to do the 10 minutes? The record check. And I'm going to be honest with you.
Sure.
Okay. I don't know what the fees are. I don't know what the rules are of this. We kind of act as the party of keeping the peace, which we've been called down here and asked.
Well, we weren't disturbing the peace, as far as we're concerned. So I mean, we're simply trying to get. She wanted to get around us.
So my question to you for right now is: did Alex Calvo instruct you to come here and? This is where your 10 minutes of trying to get the records
he
are.
He didn't give a location, and when I asked her for a location, she wouldn't give one either. So I had to assume, because we've been essentially, let me put it this way, we've been down here before looking for records individually, and we've had some problems. Frequently, the clerks are very courteous, and I have no problem with them. But no, we weren't given a specific location by either.
Parties, either
Alex or Tess or the clerk. Okay. But this is the standard place to do it. Now, you know, my understanding, though, is if she had said, if she wanted to make up a time for us to come to another location and make the same request, I'd have no problem with that. I mean, if that's her point. But this request form that you have in your hand requires a $15 fee.
Right.
And that's not in accord with what we understand is...
From the letter
yes,
that you have from
correct.
Alex Calvo.
And from communications between Alex and Attorney Kay Wells.
And I'm sorry, I don't know the attorney.
She's
I do know who Alex Calvo is.
She's a famous homie.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I don't know every attorney in the city either. So our concern is that we feel... Public records should be accessible to the community. And I don't think Tess is malicious about this. I think she's following orders. But we think the orders are denying the public access to the records. And we're the public. We have the right to reasonable access to public records, and we're not getting it. Hence, I was standing at the window waiting to get a reasonable response. Tess apparently felt she was giving a reasonable response, but I didn't. And I wanted to document the fact that we have a serious difference of opinion here so that if the issue ever arises and instead she says I was ranting and screaming at the window, which I don't think I was, there was no real disturbance. There was a refusal to leave the window until I got served, you know, I mean, in the sense that I was within the law, and I was trying to get simply a clarity that she, when she said, she would say, I refuse to serve you, I left. You may have noticed that. I was trying to get her to say that. When she said that, then I was away. But I don't feel prepared to leave the building until I choose to, which should be very shortly, but I don't want to be told by police to leave the building.
If you're creating a disturbance, which it seems now that you're
that we have this reasonable conversation going on,
yes,
on what is actually occurring.
Yes.
I don't think at this time the clerks at the window feel they'd like to service you right now. I'm just explaining
yes,
about this. And you can imagine it's human nature. They've just had a run-in with you in their minds.
Now, what's happening here is the deputies are backing down from saying you have to leave the building, which, of course, they should, because otherwise they would have to make a false arrest. They really should be arresting Tess Fitzgerald for not giving me access to the records. And, in fact, that may be the next step, which is making a citizen's arrest of Tess Fitzgerald's supervisor in that department and demanding that she allow us access to public records. I mean, the sheriff's deputies are supposed to enforce the law. Part of the law is that we have access to public records. This Fitzgerald is standing in the way, probably on orders from Alex Calvo, who himself probably should be arrested. But, you know, obviously that's not likely to happen, but you never can tell. That may be our next step, making a citizen's arrest. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. You've been listening to an incident that happened yesterday in the basement of the county building around noon. And we had a second incident that happened today when we made another expedition down there seeking, you got it, sleeping ban records of homeless people. Now, why these are such valuable gold bullion that, deserve to be locked up and hidden away, it's hard for me to figure out. I mean, part of it may be they're trying to simply make sure that the county gets paid its pound of flesh for every bit of public record that the public wants to see, but that's not the law, and also, obviously, that's not fair. You shouldn't have to pay to look at a public record. So if you want to hear more of this, I encourage you to come back when the show resumes on Sunday, and we'll be talking about this some more. And I'll be playing I'll play the end of this now until Uncle Dennis shows up, and he'll be coming up shortly with From the Cream to the Dregs. He'll be setting up, and we'll go directly into his show. I'll say goodbye, and we'll play as much of this tape as we can until Uncle Dennis is ready to go with his show. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. And remember, assert your rights in public. Do so peacefully. Do so with witnesses. Do so firmly. But do so. That's really the important thing. Thanks for being with me.
You understand that, right?
I understand that, but okay. I want to be candid with
now,
you.
Now, what I'm curious about is you say you have the letter from Alex Cole.
Yeah.
If I could just look
at
it.
Sure. You're looking at the letter from,
right,
from Alex to Kay Wells.
Exactly. My understanding in this letter is he is, he's got the government cold down that provides for a $15 fee for each search taking longer than 10 minutes.
We
says
for a 9.5 minute search.
And I understand that.
Okay.
But you also gave an unreasonable list to say I've got 30 names, or and I'm estimating. I'm just
we actually gave
sorry.
A small segment
okay.
of the list. We didn't give them the whole. We outlined a certain number of names and said take as many of these as you
what
can do in
9 minutes. What this also says is searches currently take from 3 to 30 minutes, depending on the amount of information.
So the deputy is wrong, and she's repeating the false story that Tess Fitzgerald said, that how can we do, 15 or 5 or 10 names? We don't know how long that's going to take. And my response was, take as long as you can, up to 9.5 minutes, and then stop. So the deputies, while appearing neutral, are actually not neutral at all. But then we all know that, don't we?
Provided by the defendant, location of the file, and copying requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct in my
correct.
Interpretation?
You are quite correct.
Okay. You have a list of a whole bunch of cases, and you said when you spoke to Tess, you said do as many as you can in 9.5 minutes.
Correct. We'll
kind of an unreasonable thing. In somebody's mind looking at a long list going, there's no way. Now, how about if we try that again tomorrow, and we say, I understand it's the first 10 minutes are free. So for 10 minutes, could you start this with case number one? Can we maybe try case number two if it falls within that
sure.
time limit?
Sure. And
then we'll go on.
We actually
and
we
go
did
on
that
from there.
In our own way.
Oh,
not the words you're using.
Okay, somebody's, perception of how we articulate things in another person. Sometimes that, you know, miscommunication goes a long way sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because what I'm also reading as the letter continues is a suggestion of how you should do this by Mr. Colville, and it looks like it's running up in fees because it looks like it's going up to at least, it says, what, how many minutes or how many hours? 2.5 to 6 hours to complete the whole project.
A lot of money.
And then it also says contact Tess by phone to perhaps schedule something where both they will be able to staff that. Because at the same time, you guys are coming up to the window saying, here, I want 6 hours worth of work. They still have all these people, which is the public they have to serve.
But, Valdiva, we weren't looking for 6 hours. All we wanted was 10 minutes worth. And we told her that. And when we clarified that with Tess, she rejected that idea. She said, we won't do it at the window. We'll only do it with a request. And a request costs $15 to file. So she was, in essence, and I think she made that clear, refusing to honor this understanding. Now, she may not have...
All right. I'm ready, man. say, when you get lonely, and I figure everybody does, huh? Because as a matter of fact, everybody does. I think if you're a woman, and if you're really a woman, you already know what you need, man. You already know what you're looking for. Man, I found out at 14 years old. And I've been looking ever since, too. But you have to be a young cat. You know, like about 17 years old and about this tall, right? You have to be a young cat, man, and you ain't figured it out yet. I'll tell you what you need, man. When you got those strange thoughts in your head, you don't know where they came from, man. You got those strange little weirdnesses happening to you, you don't know what they are. I'll tell you what you need. You need a sweet loving mama, babe. And a sweet talking mama, babe. You need a sweet loving mama, babe. And a sweet talking mama, babe. You need somebody to listen to you. Someone to want you. Someone to hold you. Someone to need you. Someone to use you. Someone to want you. Someone to need you. Someone to hold you. Someone to want you. Someone to hold you. You need my mama, 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 babe. Gonna mama, 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 mama,
about that. Just float your little mind around. Something like a...